Mary, let's see how good you are on the computer now. Because I haven't given her any verses. So let's see what she's going to do. Amen. You got your Bibles? Amen. You might need them. You just might need them. Get them out. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to start with one quick question. Who is born again and has the Spirit of God in them? Raise your hand. Can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. So there's only two people that are not born again in here? I got you, Charlie. Got you. Okay. Good. Then you will be able to, then I'm talking about you today. Amen. So I'm going to include you. So let me pray. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you that we can use the Bible, Lord, that we can come to know you more. That, Father, it is our stepping stone to who we are in Christ Jesus, Lord. It's when the spirit of this world clouds our mind, when the things of this world fill our agenda and our calendar, Lord Jesus, and we start getting outside of being one with you, Lord, that, Father, that the Word of God can ground us, it can remind us, and it can transform us as we take what you've written on those pages and absorb it into our hearts, because it's the Word of God that's in us that transforms us. And I thank you for that, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. God is good all the time. So let's do this. Let's start with this verse, if you're with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. So let's see who's faster, Mary's fingers or your flipping through your pages. We will see. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. I'm there. You're getting there? You've been there? I live there, praise God, huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's look in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And in the example that he's giving here, that Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, he's writing that whoever is joined to the Lord, who's ever married to the Lord, who's ever with the Lord, is one spirit with him. Now, he's talking here, he's giving them a correction about prostitution and being in fornication and being joined to another person that you're not married to. And he's correcting them and saying that flee sexual immorality in verse 18. Every sin that a man does is outside of his own body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Because we are one flesh. So let's just talk for a second before we go on. When you're married as a man and a woman, and I guess they've got other categories now, but God doesn't recognize them. When you're married, you are one what? One flesh. So does that mean that you're one spirit when you're married? What does he say? We are one flesh, right? So he's talking about our physical bodies. So in a marriage, the two bodies join together in intimacy to make one body. Is that right? And so when you love your spouse, you're loving yourself. Doesn't it say that? And when their body belongs to you and your body belongs to them, right? In a marriage, right? Is that true? Is that what God ordained it to be? Right. And until death do you part. So it is designed to be everlasting marriage, right? Moses gave them a certificate of divorce. Why? Because of the hardness of their heart, correct? But he says, but that was not how God originally intended marriage to be. He wanted it to be one partner for your entire existence on the planet. That's how God, unless perhaps they passed away, and then you can rejoin yourself to somebody else, okay? But one person, one time, for the duration, not to be divided, not to be separated, right? So that's our natural example. So then, in the spirit, it says that when we got born again, right, didn't we get born of the spirit? And so when we have joined ourselves to the Lord, what kind of joining is that? Is it temporary? It's eternal. Because if God designed marriage, and marriage is eternal in God's mind, then when he and we are joined together, it never, ever breaks. It never stops. It never divides. You're always going to be one, right? And we see the example. If you went to a lake, your favorite lake, and you called it your lake, this is my lake, and you get a bucket of the water from your lake, and you walk over to the ocean, and you take your bucket of your water and push it into the ocean and dump it out. Now, your water is the ocean, and the ocean is your water. Can you ever separate them again? Never. No matter how you make, never. It's been absorbed into it. Are you with me? So this word joined here, to be joined with the Lord, is one spirit with the Lord. That word joined is kola, like K-A-L-L, long O. Kalo. Now, if I had a blue letter Bible, it could enunciate that word for me. I'm not using one, so that's the best I can do. Listen to what it says. To glue or weld together. To glue or weld together. So we are glued or welded to the Lord, to cleave and adhere to the Lord, right? And in doing that, we become one spirit with him. Okay? So, I've asked who's born again, who has the Spirit of God in them. So now, who is one spirit with God? Amen. Me too. Okay, we're gonna do some thinking and seeing ourselves today. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, as we walk through our life, and as we are believing God for miracles in our bodies, as we're believing God for healings, as we're believing God for finances, as we're believing God for business opportunities, as we're believing God for restorations of relationships, all kinds of things we believe God for, life, all kinds of things. As we're believing God for those things, sometimes we think that we're here by ourselves solving our problems, and God is out there somewhere, and I need to pray a certain way, I need to behave a certain way, I've got to do things just right so that God can intervene in my life. Anybody ever thought that way besides me? Okay, if you are one spirit with God, where is he? Where's your spirit? That's simpler. Where is your spirit? Right inside of my body, right? And so where's God's spirit? Right inside of my body. But his spirit is joined to my spirit. So wherever the spirit of the Lord is, that's where my spirit is. Wherever my spirit is, that's where the Lord's spirit is. And the Bible says that my body is what? The temple of the Lord. That means that his spirit and my spirit are joined together in my body. Right? So, when God says, I will never leave you and never forsake you, did he mean it? So then where is he? In my body. Right? So, when I'm praying to God, where is he? He's in me. Okay? We are not two. We are one. A husband and wife is a perfect example. We are not two. We are one. But you know how easy it is to think solo when you're married, when you're a little mad or you're miffed or they don't act the way you want them to act. All of a sudden, it's easy for our hearts to start pulling away from them. God doesn't do that. Not ever, ever, ever. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He only says good things. He only thinks good things. His plans are always to prosper us and to do well. Always. So there's not two. There's one. One God. One Lord. One baptism. One faith. And where's it? Here. We've got to get that. Because when we're believing God for healings in our body, we don't have to do something. Listen, let me just, do you have to please your spirit? Do you have to do something for your spirit to approve of you? Do you have to do something for your spirit to talk to you and be with you? Do you have to prove something to your spirit that you have life from the spirit? No, why? Because he's you. He's in you. He's who you say you are. Right? So when you and the Lord are one spirit and you're joined to the Lord, welded and glued together, never to be separated ever, how many of you are there? One. You got to get this because it's very easy for us to think two. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. This is what the Old Testament said. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So in other words, in the Old Testament, when they didn't have the Spirit of God inside of them, they could not see with their eyeballs the things God had for them. They never heard with their ears the things that God has for them. They never could perceive from their own heart what he has from them. It wasn't even in them to know it. Okay? A lot of people walk today not seeing God in operation, not hearing God talk to them, and not knowing what God's plan is and what he's doing. And they're walking in this absence of the presence of God, that he is far away and hard to reach. And because of that, they're suffering in their life. So let me remind you, how many are there? Are there two or is there one? And where is he? In me. Now, a husband and wife are two, but they've been made one. Now, how have they been made one? If you're married, what should it be in a good marriage? Okay, should only one person know how the money works, or should both people know how the money works? In a good, healthy marriage, does only one person decide what they're going to do, or do both people jointly decide what they're going to do? Is it one person being selfish and the other person just giving, 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 giving? Is that a healthy marriage? No. What's a healthy marriage? Is that I pour myself into you, you pour yourself into me, I prefer you above me, you prefer me above you. That's a healthy marriage, right? So isn't that what being joined to the Lord would be? So if you have that kind of relationship, do you have to be good to get something from God? No. You have to be with him. Intimate with him. So as we read in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us how? Through his Spirit. Where's his Spirit? In me. So how does God reveal the things, the plans that he has for us? Where, how does he show them to us? Where do we go to find them? In me. So he's placed his plans inside of me. Let's go on. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So God's Spirit searches the deep things of God, right? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him, right? So your spirit knows all about you inside of you, right? And God's Spirit, it says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So let's pause for just a second on 11. So in other words, your spirit knows everything about you because it's you. God's Spirit knows everything about him because it's him, right? You can search, if you choose to, the deep things of your heart. Don't lose me now. You can ignore the deep things of your heart. It will pile up and it will show itself in your physical body as dis-ease, as pain, as loss of memory, as confusion, as clumsiness. It can show itself in so many ways if you do not pay attention to the deep things of who you are. Because only you know the deep things of who you are. I can't know them. I can't know the motives of why you do what you do. I may be inspired as to what they are, but I don't know. I only can maybe hear God, and he and I jointly can decide by perceiving in the spirit what's going on in you, but I don't know, I don't live inside of you. I don't know why you do what you do. I don't know why you say what you say in your invisible person. I don't know the deep things inside of you, but your spirit does. That means you can, if you will take an honest look at who you are. Okay? So now God's Spirit knows the deep things in him, right? Yes, no. So God's Spirit, who knows the deep things of God, and your spirit, who knows the deep things of you, are joined together now as one, a husband and a wife. Now, does your wife or does your husband hide everything from you? In a good, healthy, godly marriage? No. They should be transparent with you, shouldn't they? You should be transparent with them, right? You should be comfortable with them to trust them, and they should be comfortable with you to trust you, and you share everything. Now, who had a past before they got married? Probably all of us, unless you were dedicated in the womb to somebody. All of us. So then we chose to share that portion of our history with our loved one, right? Because we have nothing hidden from them. Is there anything about God that he will hide from you? But it's up to us to want to know about him. He's in me, and I'm in him. And therefore, I can know the deep things of God, the plans of God, the thought process of God. I can come to know him. Did Jesus know the Father? Yes, he did. Can you know the Father? Yes. Can you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Can you know the Holy Spirit? Yes. Because they can come and make their home in you and me. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So it's the Holy Spirit that shows us and tells us and lets us be aware of the things that God has for us. And where's he at again? Inside of me. So when I'm looking to find out what God has freely given to me, where do I look? In me, in the Spirit. In me, in the Spirit. In me, in the Spirit. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, doing what? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So in other words, God is showing us by the Spirit spiritual things that we're discerning by our spirit. Our spirit is discerning what God's Spirit is sharing. Okay? That's how, not what man's wisdom can tell you, but your spirit understands God's Spirit, and that's the only way you can get that information, from God's Spirit sharing it with your spirit through an intimate relationship. Are you with me still? Okay. So, when we want to know about a pain in our body, and we're going to go ask God about that pain in our body, where do we go to ask Him? In your spirit, in your inner person. Do we trust that inner person talking to us? Okay? If God is going to talk to you, how's He going to talk to you? Spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Now, I'll tell you this, God is greater than that. And if you are carnal, if you're super carnal and you can't perceive spiritual things yet, but you're honestly crying out to God, but you're blind, deaf, and dumb still, you haven't learned how to perceive spiritual things yet, He can talk audibly to you. He can send an angel. He can use another person. He can get information to you if you are just so carnal, what means is so sensual, so sensory related, feel, taste, touch, smell, hear. Those things, seeing all your five senses, if that's all you know how to perceive, you don't know how to perceive any other way intuitively yet, you don't have that understanding, then He will use those in the very beginning to get through to you. But we need to grow past that to where we can get into fellowshipping with God. So, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 14. But the natural man, that's a regular person that's not born again, or a person who's still in their sensory realm, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't even know to go after them because they are foolishness to him. It's like, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense. Nor can he know them because why? They're spiritually discerned or spiritually perceived. So now it's a matter of you and I. Are we actually learning how to perceive things in the Spirit from God? And as we learn how to perceive things in the Spirit from God, then we can start knowing the things of God, the plans of God, why things are happening the way they are, and we can start having this revelation download from God's Spirit to our spirit. Are you with me? Look at this. It says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Because you can spiritually discern now. Now you can see in the Spirit, you can hear in the Spirit, you're aware of spiritual things, you're connected to God. So you can judge everything. Can God judge everything? Isn't He worthy? And if we're joined to Him, we're one spirit with Him, then we can start seeing the way God sees, right? He goes on even further here to says, yet He Himself is rightly judged by no one. Not a natural carnal person can't judge me because they can't even see in the Spirit to know who I am, right? Look at this. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? Old Testament question. New Testament answer. But we have the mind of Christ. So, let's talk about the mind of Christ for just a quick second here as I go on. The mind of Christ, how many read in the Bible, I have the mind of Christ, I have the mind of Christ. But when it comes to the way you live your life, are you operating from Christ's mindset? Are you operating from his mindset? So, as you and he are joined together as one spirit, and everything that he has, you have, everything that he is, you are, that everything that he wants to share, he shares with your spirit, and you both are on the same wavelength. That's the mind of Christ. Okay? That's the mind of God, because you're connected spirit to spirit, because he knows the deep things. The spirit knows the deep things of God, and now you know the deep things of you, and now he shares his deep things, you share your deep things. You have the mind of God. As long as you're fellowshipping in spirit together, right? Can you drop out of the spirit into the natural world and be focusing on the spirit of this world? Yes, you can. And then what happens? God feels a million miles away. So, in other words, if you're married and the husband is at work and his secretary is kind of woo, 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 nice looking girl, and he starts spending a little bit of time with her and now going to lunches with her, what's that doing to the marriage? It is betraying his betrothed, right? Now, this other person can be captivating his attention, right? And then it's up to him to not do that, to be mature, to focus on his own marriage, and to not send out those vibes, right? Or receive those vibes, right? Because he honors his wife. Same with you. You can put your attention on stuff other than God and not be pure before the Lord and be captivated by the things of this world and distracted by them. But God knows your frailty, so don't let condemnation get you. I'm just saying that. That's what lets us be separated and thinking, I'm here, God, you're there, you got to do something. I need something from you. But when we're joined together with him, then we have the mind of Christ, right? So let's look at some other verses. What else do we have in the Spirit? So since we're spirit, let's look at this. Galatians. Go to Galatians with me. Go to Galatians 5:25 to start. So when we're joined to the Lord and we're one with the Lord, what does Galatians 5:25 say about us? It says, if we live in the Spirit, whoa. So Galatians 5 says we live in the Spirit. Didn't Jesus say in both Ephesians and Colossians that he relocated us from this world into the heavenlies and we're seated with Christ Jesus? We're seated in heavenly places, right? We've been relocated from the natural into the spiritual. So we're spiritual, and that's where we live now. It says, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So go back up a couple of verses if you're in the Bible, and let's look at what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:22. You guys there? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So where do these fruits come from? Go ahead, louder. From God's Spirit. Where's God's Spirit? In me. So how can I tell if I'm actually fellowshipping with God in my spirit? Because this will be the evidence of it. This will be the transformation of my personage. My personage in the natural, as people walk around and got their cell phones out and do my life and see my life with their cell phones, They will see that I walk in love. They will see that I have joy in my life. I'm filled with joy. They will see that I have peace in my life because I'm fellowshipping with God, and that's the fruit of me and the Holy Spirit being joined together, right? Is these fruits of the Spirit. I'll have self-control. Why? Because I'm with the Lord all the time. I'm in fellowship with Him. I'm not out of control. I'm only out of control if the spirit of this world has my attention. Not the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has my attention, now I've got all these fruits. It's the showing of my relationship. Not me acting a certain way. It's how it comes out of me. But if I'm stuck in the flesh, then I have the works of the flesh. All those ugly things that it says, that all comes from selfish, self-centered, isolated way of being. It's absent from the Spirit of God. Okay? I'm not paying attention to Him. These are the signs of it. And I got to tell you, God's really good at it. We can all bear witness that we used to be one way, and since He's been with us, we've been progressively changing, haven't we been? That's by the Spirit of God. And some of us are so far away from murder and thievery and debauchery, whatever that is. I know it's bad, though. It's not a word people use anymore, is it? All those bad things, slowly but surely, we don't have that in us anymore because the Spirit of God now is flowing through us. And we've been transformed and washed by Him. Yes? No. You? So where's Jesus? Where's Holy Spirit? Where's the Father? So when we're fellowshipping with Him, where do we go? So that's why He says that when we pray, we go into our closet and we shut the door so we can be alone with God in me. Okay? Is it okay to think of God as outside of me? Sure it is, as long as I can relate to Him in me, because He's both. Isn't He in me and outside of me? He's in me and I'm in Him, right? Is there an actual God sitting on a throne in heaven? Yes, there is. But isn't He everywhere always? Yes. Side note. Okay, don't hate me. I'm just a messenger. So, the reason God hates idolatry. Why do you think He hates idolatry so much? Because He's always designed us to be like Him with Him. And anything you worship, anything you need to make you feel better, whole, or at peace, that's not God, is idolatry. Because what you're saying is this: God, You are infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful. Without You, nothing exists that exists. And all things that exist and are named, You created. You are greater than anything that is. But I want something less than You to make me happy. I want something less than You to fulfill me. I need something less than You to make me okay. If you were married in a good, healthy marriage, and your spouse said, no, I don't need your intimacy. I've got a puppy. It's me and my puppy. We're okay. We don't need you. My puppy is good enough for me. My puppy can sleep on the bed. My dog can sleep on the bed. My cat can do that. I don't need your love. I got this one. I'll be okay if I just have my dog. How would your spouse feel? Ooh, wouldn't be good. They'd be burning inside. They'd be angry. They'd be hurt. Right? That's how God is when we choose something else to be okay or whole that's not him. Are you with me? Okay, so let's just think for a second. Let's just expand ourselves for a second. You have the ability as a Christian, as a spirit-filled person, to be bigger than the vessel you're in. Because spirit is not trapped by physical things, is it? Is spirit trapped by these walls? Is spirit trapped by this planet? Is spirit trapped by the universe? Because any of these things I say, can you picture them? Can you picture galaxies? Can you see big, big, big galaxies? Universes? How about be so big you're outside of time? Isn't God outside of time? You're one with him. Remember, you're one spirit with him. So anywhere he is, you can be with him. Anything you are, he is with you. One, not two, we're one. So to expand who you are, to be freer, to be out of bondages, right? Doesn't it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that the Spirit of the Lord is in you? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. So isn't it the Spirit that makes us free? There's a scripture that says that you're sanctified by the Spirit of God. That means you're made clean by having the Spirit of God. True or not true? I'm really making you guys think a lot, aren't I? Getting those brains just to going and going, just being able to encompass all of this. So you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have the mind of God. You're one with the Lord. And the Bible says in John chapter 4, go there. This is Jesus talking. Let's start in 23 and 24. And he's talking to the woman at the well, remember? And this is what he says to her. But the hour is coming, and now is. So it's coming, and it's here right now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father. This is when the true worshipers will worship the Father. In spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. What kind of people is he seeking to worship him? The ones that worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for those. Verse 24, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So your spirit is connected to God's spirit, and you're one spirit with the Lord. He knows the deep things of you. You know the deep things of him. They're spiritually understood. You perceive them spiritually. And in that realm of who you are in the spirit, he's seeking people to worship him from that place, from your invisible person on the inside, the person who has the fruit of the spirit, the person of peace that dwells in you, the person of joy that dwells in you, the person of love that dwells in you, that faithful, humble person with self-control, that person worshiping God. That's how he's worshiped, in our spirit, genuinely, truthfully with who we are. Remember I said earlier that you can ignore the deep things of your heart. It's possible. You can stuff stuff. You can stick it in there, stuff it down, lock the gate of your heart if there is one, and never go back there again as long as you live. People start talking about that, you just stuff it down. No, that's in the past. That's gone. Okay? It's all in there festering. It's in there. But you have the ability to look at it and see what it is. The same thing with the things of God. You have the ability to see the things of God if you'll take the time to be with Him, worship Him, and listen as He shares those things with you and desire to know them. You can have a spouse and not care about their past. You can have a spouse and not care about emotionally what they're going through. You can have a spouse and not care about their fears, worries, or insecurities. You can shut them out. And if they're a broken enough person, they'll stay married to you. But in a healthy marriage, that's not the truth. A healthy marriage, you care about the other person. You want to know their concerns. You want to know what's going on with them. You want to know what they carry and what they're going through. You want to be a judgment-free, trusting person that they can feel free to be themselves with, right? And vice versa. God's the same way. We have to want to know Him. We got to want to know what He's doing. Will He make it available to you? Amen, amen, amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Some of you know this right off the top of your head. What else do we have in the Spirit? Pastor Trey reads his Bible. Ephesians 1, 3. It's on the screen now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So in your spirit, you have every spiritual blessing. How many? Every spiritual blessing I have in my spirit. Every spiritual blessing. He's given it to me. In the heavenlies, where I'm seated with Him in Christ Jesus, I have every spiritual blessing. Wow. Now, wait a minute here. That means to tell me that when I fellowship with the Lord, when I am joined to Him and I am enjoying Him and He's enjoying me and I'm sharing me with Him and He's sharing Him with me and I can walk in every spiritual blessing, I have received it from my Father who's joined together with me. Every spiritual blessing. You think that includes health? You think that includes prosperity? You think that is peace? Is there any blessing? What's a blessing? It's a good thing that you want. It's a good, good, good thing. Does He withhold any good thing from us? No. So if we're not experiencing the blessings of God, if we're not experiencing favor in our life, if we're not experiencing healing and health in us, what could possibly be the thing? Is it God withholding it? Not from what I've talked about so far today. It could only be one thing. A lack of intimacy with Him. Living out of our heads and our minds, trying to think our way through things, rather than spirit to spirit, discerning spiritual things that He's freely given to us. That He's freely made available to us. Freely. Didn't we read that earlier? Freely given to us. Freely has for us. But they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually perceived. So we have to lay hold of it where? From the Spirit. So what happens is in our natural physical person, we need things. The only reason your natural physical person needs things, I'm going to be a little bit blunt right now, is because we're not getting what's been given to us out of the Spirit. It's the only reason. I don't have a lot of time left. I've only got 2 hours left today, so I want to kind of get to the point. Oh, 2 minutes, not 2 hours. 2 minutes, 2 hours. Hour, minute, what's the difference, right? It's only time. Let's live outside of time for a minute. So let me just reiterate with this, or sum it up with this. When you pray, and God hears you, how is it he hears you? Because he's with you. You're one spirit. If you can hear you, he can hear you. If you know what you're thinking, he knows what you're thinking. If you know what you're feeling, he knows what you're feeling, right? He's one with, he's you in you as you. And you're him in him as him. One. So when you pray, you receive whatever you ask, right? Doesn't that what the Bible says? In five places I can show you that. Whenever you ask God for something, you receive it. Why? That's how it is. You're one with him. He's one with you. Is there anything God wants he can't have? Let's think about it. Is there anything God wants that he can't make? Really? Is there anything that is withheld from him? No, you're one spirit with him. Take the limits off of God. Stop letting your natural understanding tell you what you're allowed to have and not have. The natural mind cannot comprehend these things. It's actually an enemy against God. Because these things are spiritually perceived, spiritually discerned. And because you're born of God and you have the Spirit of God, you perceive it by the Spirit. And these senses need to be exercised by using them, right? And as you do that, you start learning how to not only pull it from the Spirit into your spirit and then into your soul so you can use it in your body, but you start understanding that nothing shall be impossible with God. Thereby, being one with him, nothing shall be impossible to him who believes. Are you with me? We're still feeling less than one with him and feeling like we need to earn or deserve or be given something. But as you pray, he says you've received it if you do not doubt in your heart, right? Wow. 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 All right. I'm going to, since we're almost at time, I'm going to pray. And you pray with me, okay? Now, this prayer, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pray from your spirit. Let's fellowship with God in our spirit. Now, that means we drop from our head to our belly. Because out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right? Out of my belly, out of my center of my being, we're going to drop down from our heads and drop down to my middle of my being. And we're going to pray from there instead, okay? We're still going to use our words, but we're going to pray from feeling in the Spirit, perceiving and discerning in the Spirit. So as you're here, now start expanding yourself out. Start feeling bigger than your body. Expand yourself outside of the room, bigger than the room, bigger than the church, up higher than the church. Go up even higher, wider, bigger, outside of the clouds. Keep going up. Outside, you can see the earth. Wow, look how big the United States is. Keep going, up and out, out of the earth. Back. Keep going up and bigger and bigger and bigger into the presence of God himself. And as God and you are joining together in that huge, big expanse, You're one spirit with him. He and you are joined together as one. And now we pray. Lord, thank you. I'm one spirit with you. Thank you. I have eternal life with you. Thank you. I am free of all the bondages and limitations of this world. Thank you. I am whole. Thank you. Worry just falls off of me. Thank you. I let it all go, Lord. I just let it all go. I'm with you now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, being with you gives me peace. Being with you fills me. I'm full in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your anointing fills my body, Lord. Your anointing floods my life. Thank you, Lord, for healing my body, bringing peace to my mind, that I'm whole in you. I'm one in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Love you, Lord. Love you, Spirit of God. Love you. I enjoy you so much, Lord. Lord, have your way. Fill my future, Lord, with good things. Teach me your ways, Lord. Show me the things that you love so I can choose what you choose, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Amen means firm. You can trust this. It's the truth. It's reliable. It's yours. So as we practice spending time with the Lord in our spirit, we start noticing and becoming more and more aware of him, right? And as we do that, loneliness leaves, isolation leaves, worry leaves, anxiety leaves. All these things leave in the presence of God, right? And then we can walk in that wholeness as we practice those things. Amen? Amen. Amen.